Today we come to the fourth Sunday of Advent and to the conclusion of our short catechesis on the Mass. And just as a recap, the first Sunday we considered really its origins, and it goes right back to the very beginning. It goes back to our first parents, Adam and Eve, who misused their freedom, and they said to God, "No, not your will, mine be done." And in justice, they were condemned. They were expelled from paradise. And it's interesting to note that God clothed them in leather. So it seems to indicate that sin had gotten into the blood, and it would only be expiated by the shedding of blood. And so, clothing in leather, blood was necessarily shed to get those garments. And so it goes that as soon as they were condemned in justice, mercy, the mercy that is God, then goes into operation. So he would form a people, a chosen people, and he would make himself known. He would form them in right worship and in understanding. And we saw very beautifully how God stepped directly into our human history when he called Abraham. And he entered into that first covenant with Abraham, wherein God promised to make his descendants numerous as the stars in the heaven or the sand on the shore of the sea. But again, it would be a covenant that would be sealed in blood. And so there was that test. And Abraham was asked to sacrifice his firstborn son, Isaac. And on the way, Isaac asked the question that would echo and re-echo throughout the whole of the Old Testament. "Father, we have all we need for the sacrifice, but where is the lamb?" And Abraham's answer, of course, would look for fulfillment. God himself would provide. Now, of course, we remember that he provided initially that ram caught with its head in a thicket, much like a crown of thorns. But still the question would remain unanswered. Where is the lamb that God would provide? And we saw that it was provided in the person of Jesus Christ, and it was John the Baptist who would announce him. "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." And that it was the night before he suffered and died. Christ would take and celebrate with his disciples a new feast, because he would take that bread and wine and he would make it his body, blood, soul, and divinity. This would be that which would seal the new and eternal covenant. He instituted for us the Mass. And then he would give it power the next day in his passion, his death, and then his resurrection. And so that, we saw, is what the Mass is. There is only one Mass, many times, but only one, because we step outside of time as we understand it in terms of chronology, but we enter into salvific time. We are present at the event of our salvation, for Christ instituted it as the memorial. In other words, that we might be present, that we might then be washed in the blood of the Lamb, we might be formed as a people, we might truly become what we were meant to be from the beginning, God's faithful children. And so 2 weeks ago, Father Scheer gave a beautiful exposition of the liturgy of the Word, the very first. And we saw there how it's vital, it's alive, it's living. It's something that's, well, it's the worship and the praise of God, but God in his Word speaks to us. He speaks to each individual heart. He talks to us to form us to be his children. He enters into our personal history. And then we use his word to praise him because we lack the words. So it is that act of worship. And that's why we saw it's very important, not only to be on time, like down to the minute, but even early to prepare. Because we recognize in our life, we're pulled in 37 different directions at one time. But this gives us life and meaning to life. It is the word of God, him speaking to us, us praising him, offering him the songs of thanksgiving. It's his word. And then he also gave what I think is my personally favorite story of all of 2018. When he spoke of our profession of faith, and he gave that story of the acrobat who had walked the tightrope across Niagara Falls. Do you believe I can do it? Yes, we believe. Do you believe I can do it blindfolded? Yes, we believe you can do it blindfolded. Do you believe I can do it not only blindfolded, but pushing a wheelbarrow? Oh, we believe you can do it. All right, who's the first one to volunteer to get into the wheelbarrow? We have to put our lives where our faith is. In other words, to go with Christ. Where does he want to take us? And last week we heard Father Farrell give a beautiful exposition on the liturgy of the Eucharist. And it is the people of God, united in their priest, who speak to the Heavenly Father, and the Son, who speaks through his priest to the Father. And what words are spoken? But the words that give us life. Because what is it that we offer him? Ourselves, our lives. We offer him bread and wine, little things. But what does he give us in return? Himself. And this is the gift of his heart, filled with love for us. And we're called to respond in that same love, to discern his real and true presence, to be grateful for it. There's a great example from our history. In the 300s, very early 300s, still Diocletian was nuts, and he was the emperor. And he passed a law that Catholics could not gather for Sunday worship. He forbade the Mass. It was the law of the land and the will of the emperor God. And of course, these Catholics who had been formed in several centuries of suffering for the name of Christ, they responded with just ignoring it, and they continued on. Well, the group in North Africa was arrested. There were about 40 of them, and it was the spokesman, probably the bishop, who responded to the judge who asked him, why did you do this which is forbidden, both by the will of the emperor and the law of the land? And his response was very instructive, because without this, we cannot live. And he meant this in two ways. First, without this, without Sunday, the day of the Lord's rest, how can we rest and find joy in natural life? Without that Sunday rest where we re-encounter our Lord in a very special way, how is it that we can be formed as his people? It becomes just simply one thing among many that we have to check off. But this is life. And the second this that he meant was, without this, the holy sacrifice of the Mass, we cannot live. Without Christ's self-sacrifice, without his strength, without him to nourish and strengthen us, we cannot live forever. So this for us is life. It is Christ. It is the gift of his love. And we see what it is that has been given to us, the holy sacrifice of the Mass. It gives us an example. It gives us courage because we have hope and the courage to live for something greater than ourselves, but that we live for the Father and the Father's will. Because in time, we walk not by sight, not by impression, not by emotion or feeling, but by faith. So we put our trust in him, and what we gather to do here is to be present at his life-giving death, that we can suffer with him because he suffered first. He showed us that it has meaning. We can deny ourselves and embrace the cross because he did, and we can do it because he gives us strength. Oh, his love for us is enormous. So what's the question? Our love for him. I must leave to each and every one of us to determine how to prepare ourselves for this sacred encounter so that it becomes most fruitful in our lives. If we do not discern truly the body, blood, soul, and divinity of the Lord, and this is St. Paul, then we receive him not to our exaltation but to our condemnation. To realize who it is and what condition we ought to be in. that holiness of life that should mark us, that our life is always to be a preparation, but also a thanksgiving. It's always discouraging, and I generally don't see it, but boy, we all hear it. People grab their communion and out the door. What's so important? We gain the whole world and lose our soul. What do we have? But it is the Lord. Do we respond in thanksgiving? Do we tell him that we love him? And do we allow him the time and the space to tell us the same thing? So it's preparation and it is thanksgiving, for it is the Lord. And at the very end of the Mass, what do we receive? One of the greatest blessings known to the human race, and one of the most underrated. May Almighty God bless you. It's God's blessing, direct from his heart to you. So what we receive in the Mass is the gift of life, the gift of freedom, the gift of love. And that leads us to faith. That faith grants us hope, and that hope gives us courage. And it's the same courage now that's necessary today as was in the very beginning, in the age of martyrs, or in the great age of the missionary activities, when Western Europe was formed, Western civilization, formed by the Mass, because it called people to an attention and a reverence and a love that would sacrifice itself in love for the will of the Father. And so this is our great struggle today, and this is our great strength. For as that bishop said so long ago in North Africa, really and truly, without this, we really cannot live, because existence in time becomes a drudgery. And then the fact is that we'll stand before judgment, and what will we say? What will we look to? We prepare all our life to encounter him who seeks to encounter us so regularly. Holiness of life, a life in Christ, a life that's faithful to the will of the Father. Jesus once said, if you would be my disciples, you must deny yourself, embrace the cross, follow in my footsteps. And what gives us the strength to do that? What forms us? But his word and his body. It is the Mass, and this is the gift, this is the life, and this is the love to which you and I have been privileged to be called to worship the Father with the Son in hope of what? Eternal glory. And always remember, that is truly what we were made for, eternal, everlasting glory, being loved by love himself. If that be the case, then it is only right that in time we endure the cross with him. And where is it that we are most present at the cross but in the holy sacrifice of the Mass, the unbloodied representation of the gift of his love and life on Calvary? It's all he asks of us in return, the gift of our life, the gift of our love, the gift of our faithfulness, to be strengthened by him, to be purified by him, to be formed by him as his people, that we might be with him forever in eternal glory. Praise to be Jesus Christ.